Well, hello again. Welcome. Bless your heart. You get to hear from me again. So, sorry. But it is once again good to see you. It's just to chat real briefly before we look at the Word of God here. And many of you have been so faithful in praying for my family over this last year and a half. As my wife Bryn, she has was diagnosed and has been battling through breast cancer, and we rejoice that as we sit here today, she is cancer free because of the surgeries and the process that she's gone through and all of that. She's still living with the fallout of tiredness and a new normal. Of navigating through those things. But oh, how grateful we are for God's goodness, His faithfulness to us. God not only worked in the health, but also in the financial aspect of things. As you know, anytime you go through medical things and all that, using our church in tremendous ways, but also other churches like yours. And we thank you for your faithfulness and your love to us in even providing some help for us during that time. And you are a special church family to us. And we love you guys. If you want great updates about things, you can talk more to Bryn than from me. But God has been entirely faithful to us. We rejoice in that. Glad that she's with me and the whole family. For about a year and a half, I did mostly traveling by myself. And it wasn't as much fun. So I'm glad that she's with us. And she will seek to be here at everything, you know, through the week. But every once in a while, we sometimes feel that, you know, maybe tonight might be good for her to stay back. But we'll see as God gives strength through the week. But thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your gifts. Thank you for your love and concern for our family, though we only come through every once in a while here. Okay. We have our Sunday school time, and our minds have already been in Ephesians 4, so let's not jerk into something else. Let's go back to Ephesians 4. Maybe that'll help us cement things even more here. In fact, here is a major spoiler alert. You got a bookmark, you got a ribbon, you got a church bulletin that's still in your Bible from April. Stick it in Ephesians 4. Every time we gather, including tonight, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're going to be in Ephesians 4. Okay? So you already know. In fact, you're going to start figuring out where the next, what we're going to be covering every time we gather. And it's good stuff. For our Sunday school, we'll see how much I can get done. Verses 22, 23, and 24. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Verses 22 to 24 is, verse 21, the truth as it is in Jesus. It's a continuation of that thought. We learned this morning there are two types of people in our world. There is the old humanity. There is the new humanity. In verses 17 through 21, the apostle describes the old humanity living in the vanity of their minds, living in the darkness of their understanding, living in the greediness of their conduct. This is why the world is messed up. The old humanity, of which I used to be a part, is making our world worse. We need a new humanity, and that's what God has been doing through Jesus Christ. He has been making new people from the old people. And as you get to verses 22 to 24, here is the apostle's description of the new people. And this is his argument. Christian, you are no longer to behave the way you used to. Christian, you are to no longer conduct yourself as the old humanity. Why? Ah, because something happened to you. That's why. What happened to me? What happened to you? Verses 22 through 24. This is what has happened to you. You have put off the old man once and for all. You have put on the new man once and for all. And your mind is being renewed every day. This is the truth as it is in Jesus. No longer behave as the old humanity. That's not who you are anymore. Let me tell you, the apostle says, what happened to you. Okay. He begins in verse 22 and he says, Christian, let me tell you what happened to you. You have once and for all put off the old man. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. What is this thing called the old man? This is not talking about your father. What is this thing called the old man? Well, it's pretty simple. It is what you were, Christian, before you were saved. The old man is verses 17 through 19. That's what the old man is. The you who were bent against God, you who were bent towards evil. It's the fallen you, the corrupt you, the unregenerate you, the spiritually dead you, the old you. When I was in college, there was a pastor in South Carolina. His name is Mark Minnick. He used an illustration, and I want to borrow it and pass it along because it's good. You need to hear it. He said, think of your life like a two-volume biography. Now, as a Christian, this is your two-volume biography. I'm going to take his illustration and adapt it for me, okay? If I was writing the biography of my life, and it would be a fascinating read, absolutely fascinating read. If I were to write my biography, volume one, old Andy, my life without Christ. You know, part one, I lived in the vanity of my mind. Part two, I lived in the darkness of my understanding. Part three, I lived in the greediness of my conduct. I do not like volume one. Oh, but praise the Lord, there's a volume two in my life. Volume two is called New Andy, my life in Christ. You know, part number one, new life. Part number two, new understanding. Part number three, new conduct. I like volume number two. And the opening sentence of volume two, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are becoming new. So the old man of Ephesians 4:22 is the old you. It is what you were before Jesus. And the apostle speaks about the old man in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6 when he says that the old man has been crucified with Christ. In other words, old Andy was not cleaned up. Old Andy was crucified. This is positional truth, spiritual positional truth. Old Andy is dead. Old Andy has been put off. New Andy was created in its place. New Andy came to life. New Andy, as we will see in verse 24, has been put on. As I stand before you today, I am a man in Christ. The man I was in Adam has gone forever. God no longer sees the old man in me. He sees Christ. He sees the new man. I'm not half saved and half unsaved. I am entirely saved. I am the new man in Christ. And it is perfectly right to say the old man, positionally, was crucified with Christ. But the new man still lives in the old flesh with its leftover corruption. You see, let me put it this way. The old you, the old Andy, The old you acted a certain way. We talked about that this morning. The old you behaved a certain way. The old you talked a certain way. The old you thought a certain way. And what's that known as? Your former conversation. Conversation, of course, meaning behavior. How you used to be. Back in verse number 22, the former conversation. This is your former action, your former thinking, your former conduct. And what is it described as? Corrupt and deceitful. So the apostle's argument that he is building and he's going towards for the rest of the chapter is this: part of putting off the old man is making a decisive break with the old manner of the old man. Okay, let me put it to you this way. You have bought a house. You finally got it ready. You're ready to purchase this new house to you. And when you purchase it, you step in and you start going through the house and you're like, this is a great house. I did well in purchasing this house. And then you discover the reason the house was even on the market is because the guy who used to own the house, he actually died. And that creeps you out just a little bit. He died in the house, but he's no longer there. You are now the new owner of the house. And as you're going through everything, you go into the master bedroom and you go into the master closet. And as you open it up, two things immediately greet you. Number one, you see the guy who used to live there left all of his clothes. They haven't been cleaned out. They're still hanging there. And as you look at his clothes, you say, man, these are pretty nice threads. These are classic. I think I'd look good in these. And the second thing that hits you is this. The former tenant, he never bathed. And it's obvious the stench is coming off the clothes. But you see, you're the new person in the neighborhood and you don't want their little they like the guy who used to live in this house. And they're not too sure about this new tenant in the house. So to help them understand that you just kind of ease your way in the neighborhood, you decide every so often that you're going to dress in the old guy's clothes so that you can kind of ease yourself in. You say, this is bizarre and I would never do that. You're right, because it's not logical. Why would you do this? That is the picture the apostle says. He is saying this: the old you has died and gone. The new you has come to live in the old flesh. But the guy you used to be, he left some things behind. He left clothes. He left certain mentalities. He left certain actions. He left certain behaviors. He left a part of himself there. You're the new person in Christ. Stop wearing the dirty clothes left behind. That is what his point is. You have put off the old man, so put off the corruption the old man left behind. There is an element of violence to it. There is an element of force to it. You have put it off, reject it. You are done with the old man, so be done with the old manner. Let me see if I can use another illustration. This comes through my study. There was a pastor in England in the mid-20th century, Martin Lloyd-Jones. In his incredible exposition of the book of Ephesians, he used this illustration. I only say this to let you know that I did not come up with it. But it was helpful for me. Perhaps it'll be helpful for you. In the United States of America, 150 or so years ago, we had a terrible scourge in our land, that of slavery. Praise God, that doesn't exist anymore here. It should have been done a lot earlier before Abraham Lincoln finally made this pronouncement. But in 1863, Abraham Lincoln made the proclamation that all those who were known as slaves in the United States of America are now free. And soon it became the law of the land. Legally, there were no slaves. But there are recorded instances where some freed former slaves continued, whether out of habit or whether out of custom or whether out of practice, they went on living as though they were still slaves. What do you say to such a man? Well, you go to him and you say, "Is this what you say to him is this? What are you doing? The slave you used to be is dead. So be done with the slaving. Be done with the slavery." Now, of course, the man is standing there in front of you. He is just alive as he's always been, but the slave he was is no longer. The slave he was is dead. So be done with the slavery. You're a free man. Live as a free man. Stop living as a slave. The slave is gone forever. Put off the slavery. I'm going to give you four words you're going to hear a lot over these next several times we gather. And this is the apostle's argument. Be who you are. You're a free man in Christ, so be who you are. You're a new person in Christ, so be who you are. That's the apostle's argument in Ephesians 4. You Christians are being inconsistent. You said you were done with the old life, but you're messing around with it. So be done with it all over again, once again. Put it off once and forever every time the need arises. You have put off the old man, so daily put off the corrupt conduct of the old man. Now, notice here in verse 22, he describes the corruption left behind, the behavior left behind, as that which is corrupt and that which is full of the lusts of deceit. First off, he says it is corrupt, it is rotten. That former behavior is lacking in wholesomeness. The idea is not just that it is corrupt, but that it is corrupting. It's deadening. It's increasing in corruption. It is dying. Have you ever noticed you have to increase sin as a Christian in order to get the same buzz out of it? It is deadening. It is corrupting. You have to keep doing it to enjoy it. To the same level. It is not only corrupt and corrupting, but it's full of the lusts of deceit. I'm not going to belabor this because he's already touched upon this earlier. Sin and selfish living are nothing but cruel jokes. It promises to satisfy your strong desires and urges, but it mocks you. It promises minimal consequences and maximum pleasure. It promises lasting fulfillment. It promises total joy. It promises that God either doesn't see you, or if he does, he doesn't care about your sin. And like a dog to its vomit, the fool keeps returning to his folly. And the apostle's argument is this: stop. It's not who you are anymore. Be who you are. You have put off the old man, so be done with the old manner. Okay? This is what has happened to you. You have put off the old man once and for all. But then, as we come to verse 23, he says, "Let me tell you what also has happened to you." This is the truth as it is in Jesus. You are being renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is happening to you. Now, did you notice in verse 23, he talks about this thing called the spirit of your mind. Now, this is not just your mind. It's the spirit of your mind. Oh, the power of man's mind. You realize that instrument God placed within you, between your two ears, there is nothing wrong with the instrument. You have been given a beautiful instrument by God, the brain, the power of the mind of man. With your mind, man has done some pretty amazing things. With our minds, man has written some powerful music. We have created beautiful works of art. With our minds, we have put a man on the moon 50 years ago this last summer. In fact, I heard one of the engineers who was a part of that say, when President Kennedy made the statement some years earlier, "We are going to put a man on the moon by the end of the decade," he said, "We knew it was going to happen. It was just a math problem now. We just had to figure it out." And guess what? We did! The power of man's mind. We've cloned a sheep with our minds. How powerful it is that we have done this. Unlocked amazing mysteries, defied gravity, healed diseases, the power of the mind. Yes, but what is the operating system behind your mind? This is the spirit of your mind. There's nothing wrong with our instrument. It is the operating system, the power operating it. You see, as we already discovered, our minds were taken over by a foreign agent. Our minds were taken over by Satan. Our whole outlook is wrong. Our whole thinking is distorted, warped, perverted. The mind can conceive of great things, but the governing power behind it is wrong. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your mind is no longer under the control of Satan. Your mind is now under the control of a new operating system, that of the Holy Spirit. And he is saying this, because your mind is now under the control of the Holy Spirit, every day your mind is needing to be renewed, refreshed, recalibrated. The spirit of your mind must be continually given back over to the Holy Spirit. Now, how does this happen? Well, I'm going to give you three statements, and I trust it'll be helpful to you. When he says your mind is being renewed, or the spirit of your mind is being renewed, that's going to happen, number one, by the Holy Spirit. Number two, through God's Word. Number three, among God's people. So, by God's Spirit, through God's Word, among God's people. Let's talk about this briefly. Number one, renewed in the spirit of your mind is accomplished by God's Spirit. Understand this, you don't renew your mind. It's actually done to you. The Holy Spirit does that. In fact, you may not have realized this, but while you've been sitting here, the Holy Spirit's been at work renewing your mind. Colossians 3:10 says that renewal is something that happens to you. Romans 12:2, the Holy Spirit transforms you by renewing your mind. It's His work to do, so don't hinder the Holy Spirit. So it's done by the Holy Spirit. He does the heavy lifting. But how does He do it? Well, He does it through God's Word and among God's people. Let's talk about that. Through God's Word. We are washed, our minds are washed, by the water of the Word of God. In other words, the more you are in the Bible, the more the Bible washes your mind, recalibrates your thinking. This is why we study the Word. This is why we read the Word. Now, I've grown up in church, and I see a lot of young people in here, a lot of kids, a lot of young adults, and so forth. As we were growing up, as I was growing up, I heard this a lot. Read your Bible because God tells you to. It's your duty to do so. I suppose that's a good reason and a good motive to read your Bible. Oh, we ought to be in the Bible because, bless God, God tells us to do it. Okay, fine. But I have a question. Why? Why does God want me in the Word? Ah, because your mind keeps wanting to go back in the old way of thinking. This is why you need to be in the Bible every day. This is why we gather on Sunday morning to hear the Word of God preached. This is, oh my goodness, why your church, and you are the church, why your church set aside like 4 days to be in the Word of God. You know why? So you can be renewed in your mind. I don't do it. Praise God, I'd mess up your mind. The Holy Spirit does it. Through His Word. So I make this promise to you, when we gather, all I'm going to give you is the Bible, because that does the work. It is going. You need it in your head, not only through the study of the Word of God, through the reading of the Word of God, through the listening of the preaching of the Word of God, through good, godly, Bible-saturated music. This is what we put in our heads, and it recalibrates, it refocuses. When my children were very little, they don't do this anymore, or my wife doesn't do this anymore. When my children were very little and they weren't paying attention, you know what she would do? Bryn would get down on their level, and she would put both hands on side and sides of their faces and would get their attention. They'd look up at her, and she would say, "Focus, focus." Now, she never did it to me, in case you were wondering. Focus. You know what that's the Holy Spirit does every day of your life? Your mind keeps wanting to go back in the old way of thinking. No. Focus. Focus. He does it through the Word of God. Are you in the Bible? But he also does it among God's people. Why do we gather? Well, for several reasons, but one reason we gather, Hebrews tells us, is to provoke one another to love and to good works. You do not neglect the church of God. When the church gathers, be there. You not only need the teaching and the preaching, you need the fellowshipping. I mentioned this last year and a half. A lot of times I had to minister and preach in churches without my family. Or I may have one of my children with me or a couple of them. And I felt a million miles away many times from my wife as I would travel and preach and so forth. There were some Sundays, I will guarantee you, I will confess to you, that I did not want to preach. I did not want to give. I wanted to be home and sit with my wife, with my family. And that wasn't what God had for me on that particular Sunday. And yet I cannot tell you how many churches, God's people, we gathered, and someone would come to me and would say, Andy, I want you to know that I'm praying for you. Andy, you know, this is what God has done in our life. I know he's going to take care of you and your wife and your family. Just the encouragements among God's people. Oh, how it helped to the Holy Spirit say, Andy, focus. Your mind is wanting to go down a way it doesn't need to. You need to be brought back in a line again with how you should be thinking, how the Bible would have you think. Don't let your mind go. Be with God's people. I'm speaking to some people here that I'm glad you're here this morning, but let's be honest. When life gets a little busy for you, or when life gets, maybe I should say not busy, but when life gets difficult for you, you kind of remove yourself from the church. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Your mind keeps wanting to go in the wrong way. Your mind is being sabotaged. You need the church of God. The worst time to skip church is when life is bad. You need one another. This is how the Holy Spirit recalibrates, refocuses, refreshes, renews your thinking. Okay. What has happened to you? You're the new humanity. What has happened to you? You have put off the old man once and for all. You are being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then verse 24 and number 3, you have put on the new man once and for all. Look at verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, what is this thing called the new man? Well, we've already kind of discussed it, but it's the new you. It's the man you are in Christ, or the woman you are in Christ. If you want to call yourself the new woman, you can do that as well. All right, you're the new person. You're the new man in Christ, the new creation. By the way, the new you is the exact opposite of the old you. Let me prove it to you. Look at verse 22 and look at verse 24. This is fascinating. Verse 22, the old you, corrupt, decaying, dying. Verse 24, new man, you have been created after God. In other words, there's new life within you. All right, verse 22, old man, full of deceitful lusts. Verse 24, new you, full of true holiness. You see the exact opposite here? When he says that you have put on the new man, again, this is something you have already done at salvation. It's actually who you currently are. But as with put off the old manner of the old man, his argument as we come into verse 25 to the end of the chapter is put on the new manner of the new man. Wear the new clothes. Be who you are. Now, why should you put on the new manner? Why should you put on the righteousness of the new man? Three quick reasons. Number one, this is who you are. Be consistent. Be who you are. Number two, we put on the righteousness of the new man because the old humanity is watching you. Is it not true that they are looking for you to fall? How many people look at Christians and just waiting for you to slip up? Aha! There's nothing in your message. See, I knew you were a hypocrite. I knew there. You there. I'm not going to follow your God now. Psh, you say things have changed in your life. Look at you, liar. Look at you, thief. Look at you, backstabber. Psh, you're no different. They're looking for you and me to fall. This is why we put on the righteousness. And number three, you understand the nature of who you now are, the character of who you now are. Did you notice there in verse 24? You are created after God. What does this mean? You are taking after God when you put on the new manner of the new man. You're living in his likeness. You're showing people a little bit more what God looks like. Created after God. As God is this way, and as you are becoming more like Christ, you are showing people who God is and what he is like. What a privilege is yours. By the way, we're going to see that phrase, created after God, or that idea, over and over this week. Now, not only have you been created after God, but notice also in verse 24, you have been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. More on this tonight. You need to come. Tonight is fascinating. We're one verse tonight, verse 25. You're not, this is what we're going to talk about. You're not just being moral. You're not just being morally righteous. No, you are putting on God's righteousness. People see that you are characterized by a life of God's truth, not deceit. There's a God likeness to you, a God integrity, a God settledness, and consequently, you shock the world. You shock the old humanity because you are created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Okay? So what we've covered today, verses 17 through 21, is this is the portrait of the old humanity. This is who you used to be. No longer be that way anymore. Why? Because verses 22 to 24, something happened to you. You're not that way anymore. You've already put off the old man. You've already put on the new man, and you are being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so tonight, as we get to verse 25, fascinating what the apostle does. He says, so live, conduct yourself according to what happened to you. Okay? But you got to come back tonight. I'll be here. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the scripture. Thank you for the apostle's argument. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Renew our minds today. Amen.